Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Save big this summer with great deals, all in the Kroger app. Get tender USDA Choice value packs of T-bone steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon, limit 5. Then buy one, get one free on select varieties of Entenmann's, Wonder Bread, or Vita Coco Water, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Sports Ethos New Orleans Pelicans podcast. I'm your host Wyatt Wilbert. You can follow me at Wyatt Wilbert and the show at Ethos Pelicans. This is a Sports Ethos presentation, and today we're going to be discussing a variety of topics, mostly deal with front office moves, acquisitions, and then also dive into the draft a little bit. So buckle up, it's going to be a great episode, and really excited to start this episode off with congratulations to Herb Jones, who was named first team all-defensive team this past week, which is a huge, huge honor, and it's great to see Herb finally get some recognition, and it's really well-deserved, honestly. He has been the anchor of the defense, it seems like, for the number of years. A little surprising, he didn't even really get any recognition last year, but nonetheless, I mean, a first team, you know, all-defensive team is fantastic. It's really, truly exceptional, and it shows really the hard work that Herb's put in all around, right? You know, this year we saw his offensive game improve quite a bit as well. He's become a pretty solid three-point shooter, so really excited for the trajectory of him as we, you know, transition into this next phase of Pelicans basketball, right? You know, in the previous episode, we talked about this, not issue, but decision-making and area of where the Pelicans want to remain competitive while also developing young talent and moving players around. It's really tricky, but, you know, one thing's for certain, Herb Jones will definitely be a part of the Pelicans' future. I think that he has shown, again, tremendous improvement on both sides of the ball. So, yeah, it's fantastic to see him get rewarded accordingly. So, congratulations again to Herb Jones. And with that in mind, let's move on to another piece of news this past week with Trajan Langdon. Will be headed to Detroit as the president of basketball operations for the Detroit Pistons. He will be leaving the Pelicans organization, and this is a pretty big deal for the Pelicans. I think that the Pelicans fan base has understood the possible implications of this, but, you know, to the rest of the NBA, maybe not so much. This guy's Langdon's been a really, really important piece in building out this Pelicans roster as a whole. He's really been David Griffin's right-hand man over the past few years. So it's going to be really interesting to see how this impacts the draft plans of the Pelicans and also some future decision-making as well. So really curious to see and also excited to see what he does with the Pistons roster. I think that, you know, they have a lot of young talent also, but it's a matter of how are they going to mesh it? How are they going to get all the pieces to fit? So curious and interested to see. You know, I brought up also on last week's episode how this would maybe, you know, if Brandon Ingram would maybe be traded to a team like Detroit, who has a bunch of cap space. You know, my initial answer to that was no. I don't think that the package that Detroit could put together would be, you know, enough for New Orleans to receive for him, for, you know, a borderline all-star player. But I got to be honest, I think that this maybe opens up the window a little bit more. Especially, I mean, the connection's obvious, right? Langdon, you know, traded for Ingram and has seen him, you know, develop more so than he did in Los Angeles. So I still don't think the package that Detroit could offer, which would probably be a lot of draft picks, probably the fifth overall pick, which they have this year, and then maybe a guy like Jaden Ivey. I still don't think that's enough for a guy like Brandon Ingram, but I could see Langdon trying to at least initiate that kind of conversation with David Griffin. I just Again, though, I still think that this potential Brandon Ingram trade to Detroit is not going to happen. To Detroit, I think that there's better options elsewhere. One rumor that's come up this past week as well has been Philadelphia viewing Brandon Ingram as a plan B if they don't get a guy like a Paul George this offseason. I still don't see like what Philadelphia would possibly offer except draft picks. I mean, you're not going to get a guy like Maxey. That's not going to happen for Brandon Ingram. But the rest of the pieces they have, right, like Buddy Hield and Batum, Paul Reed, I just don't see how that's appealing to New Orleans. So, again, not to harp on Brandon Ingram too much because he was the main focus of last week's episode, but I don't see, any further traction. I saw a little bit of possible DeJounte Murray rumors to the Pelicans, and that the Pelicans hold him in higher regard than Trae Young. A little bit interesting. I could definitely see that trade happening, I think, a little bit. But again, I would prefer Darius Garland, I think. That was the main takeaway from last week's episode. So, not to discuss Brandon Ingram too much. It doesn't seem like there's much movement on that front. But, with the Langdon move to Detroit as their new president of basketball operations, it's interesting to see how that would maybe have some kind of a domino effect for the Pelicans as a whole. Bryson Graham, it looks like, is going to be bumped up to general manager, who, by all means and by all accounts, is a fantastic talent evaluator. He, from what I've read and what I understand, he basically found Trey Murphy and was instrumental in them drafting him at the 17th pick a few years ago. Also helped finalize the CJ McCollum trade and found Herb Jones, by all accounts, as well. So I'm really excited, actually, to see him get a bump up to a full-time general manager position and see what happens from there. I think Langdon is a big loss, but I do think that there is, other guys in the building that are going to take his spot and, manage accordingly. So congratulations to Trajan Langdon. I think that's super exciting for him to be the new president of basketball operations at Detroit. Moving on, the draft is coming up, and I'm super excited to talk about it. I think that Pelicans are, in a unique position, right? This offseason really is just so interesting, but also kind of odd for them. They are the only team in the draft where we don't know if they will have one or two first-round picks this year. At the time I'm recording this, they have the option to take the Lakers' 17th overall pick, or they can defer it to next year. So that'll be interesting to see what they do with that. I'm of the opinion that they should defer it. I think that the Lakers are in a bit of a limbo. I think that LeBron is going to test free agency, and I really do think that it's not a guarantee that he comes back to Los Angeles. I could see him even going to a team like Cleveland. There was even a rumor I saw that was pretty crazy where he would join Phoenix if they drafted Bronny and team up with Durant and Booker. I don't know about that, but I think that there's more options for him to go elsewhere than maybe we're being led to believe. So, again, the Pelicans have a decision to make. And again, this is also what people have discussed as a weaker draft class. Maybe one of the weaker draft classes in almost 20 years, which is shocking. But I don't see the upside, I guess is my point, in having this pick, and two first-round picks, I should say, right? They could also have they have their own 21st overall pick. That's their other pick that they do have. So 17 and 21. I also just don't see two open spots, right, for two rookies to come along. Given that this trajectory that we've discussed where they're looking to be aggressive, David Griffin has said that they're going to be aggressive and really roll the dice. Willie Green is on the hot seat. If they get off to a slow start, he could easily be fired early on in the season. So, I just don't see them having two first-round picks this year. And I think it's the right move. I just don't think that Los Angeles has an exceptional future ahead of them. I think that they've really kind of lost that future by trading draft picks to acquire big name talent, which understandably so when you have LeBron James at the helm. But as a result, I don't think that they're set up great for the next 5 years or so. So I would hold off on that pick. I would defer that 17th overall pick and use it for next year. Who knows? Maybe it could even be a lottery pick. given what could go on in Los Angeles over the next year. So, for the intents and purposes of this episode, I'm just going to assume that they only have the 21st overall pick. But nonetheless, there's some really exciting talent on the board, I think. And there's some sleepers that just doing some research and looking at what could potentially be on the board at 21. I think there's a lot of guys that jump out as really productive college players that aren't necessarily getting a lot of love in terms of mock drafts and what scouts are saying about them, which is a little surprising, but you know how the way the draft goes, it's a lot of teams drafting on potential, I would say. What can a guy be in 5 years rather than what can a guy be in 2 years, which actually plays into the Pelicans' hands, I think, perfectly well, right? They need guys who can step in and be good within 2 years, not within 5 years. So when you look at some of the talent that maybe they could be on the board at 21 for them, I actually think this works out pretty nicely for them.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I'm just going to get right into it. I think the number one guy that should have on the board, and I think is a realistic guy that's going to be there at 21, is Kyle Filipowski from Duke. We've talked about, again, the necessity for the Pelicans to revamp the center position. They don't want a guy like Jonas Valanciunas, who's a plotter, slow, and again, a free agent. He is not going to be a Pelican next year. That would be my guess. So there's going to be an opening. And again, Larry Nance is probably not the guy for a full 82-game season in the playoffs. Maybe a solid backup, but not a starter. So if you're not going to find the guy through trading Brandon Ingram, I think Filipowski at 21 makes a ton of sense. He is over 7 feet tall, probably closer to 7'2". He runs the floor exceptionally well. He is more athletic, I think, than people give him credit for. I actually had the opportunity to see him play in the NCAA tournament this year. He really was all over the place. Again, runs the floor well. He has great vision for a big man, and he can hit that open jump shot, which is so crucial in today's NBA where they space the floor. I think him and Zion would actually be a really potent duo down low, and there'd be a lot of opportunity for a solid two man between the two of them. So I think that this is their number one. I think that it just makes too much sense. And there's going to be some guards on the board that are available, but given that they have Jordan Hawkins, they drafted Dyson Daniels a few years ago, who hasn't panned out, but even EJ Liddell, a little bit of swingman, I just don't think that there's a necessity for a guard. There's going to be guys like Terance Shannon from Illinois, who was spectacular in the NCAA tournament. Comes with a little bit of character concerns. He had some issues in college. So again, we'll probably be on the board, and he's an explosive athlete. I could easily see him being, a 16, 17 point per game scorer at some point in his career. Maybe a great like six man off the bench, just a spark plug. But a guy like that, or like Tyler Kolek from Marquette, another guard who really controlled the tempo of the game super well for Marquette this past year. Those guys are probably going to be on the board as well, but given what New Orleans has in terms of the guard position, I just don't think that those guys are a necessity. They're a luxury. And again, this is going to be a team that is kind of on the edge and they don't have much time to waste. So, as much as I would like them, and if they did have those two first round picks, they decided to do that, maybe that's the move that they make. They take a guard like Terance Shannon or Kolek, who's explosive. Can score or just run the offense pretty well. And then you take a big man like Filipowski. I think that's maybe an option. But again, like I think that the preference again would be to only have one draft pick this year rather than two. If Filipowski is not on the board at 21, which is a real possibility, he's a Duke big man. Those guys tend to move up the board when it's all said and done. The mock drafts may have them projected to go in the 20s, but when it becomes a mid-teens pick, they're suddenly gone. So, by no means a guarantee that Filipowski will be there at 21. So, looking elsewhere, there actually is, it seems like, a good amount of solid big men that would fit into this mold that we've talked about of a guy who's athletic, can run the floor, can shoot a little bit. I like Yves Misi from Baylor. He is extremely raw, but again, the talent is there where, you know, in 2 years or so, he could be your starter 100%. I think the downside, though, is, and this is where the Pelicans need to be careful, right? If they draft certain guys, I think you need to get another center back if you're trading Brandon Ingram as well, if that makes sense. So you take a guy like Yves Misi, who's raw and you know cannot be a starter on day one. Maybe when you trade Brandon Ingram, for example, if it's to Orlando Magic, you get a guy like Jonathan Isaac or Wendell Carter back, a guy who could fill in for a year or two nicely at that center position. And then, you know, 2 years down the road, 2 years down the road, when Misi develops, you have him ready to take the reins. There's also a couple other guys that caught my eye too. Daron Holmes, the second from Dayton. Absolutely love this guy in the NCAA tournament. He is crazy athletic. I just love this guy's like heart and passion for the game, a rebounding machine. So I actually, he would probably be a number two on my board outside of Filipowski. I think Misi at Baylor is a nice guy who, again, is raw, but I don't think the Pelicans have, you know, time to waste. One other guy, too, Khalil Ware from Indiana. He actually has a pretty solid stroke as well. But again, these guys all look like they will be on the board at 21 for New Orleans, which is super exciting. Dare I even say Zach Edey, right? Zach Edey probably will be on the board at 21. You know, I don't think he'll move into the lottery. That would be my guess. If he's there, and Filipowski and, like, Holmes are gone, maybe you do roll the dice on him. I don't know. I still think if you take a guy like him, you do need some kind of other big man on the roster. That's my opinion of that. So there is a lot of big men that are going to be on the board, it looks like. So it looks like there's a lot of guys over in the G League and over in Europe that are coming over that seem to be higher on teams' lists. Guys like Alex Saar, it looks like he'll be a top two pick. Donovan Klingon, looks like he'll be a top five pick, as well as maybe Stephon Castle, a top 10 pick. I love those guys on UConn. I'm just realistic about the situation. These guys are not going to fall to 21. Klingon is not going to be there. Even going back to this fake Brandon Ingram trade I brought up of the fifth overall pick, right? I don't even think if they had the fifth overall pick from Detroit that Klingon would even be there. Like, Klingon would probably be the best option for New Orleans in this situation, but Filipowski is a pretty solid consolation prize if he's there. I can't get over this guy falling to the 20s. It really surprising to me. I thought this guy was probably a lottery pick. But yeah, I would love to have this guy on New Orleans. I think this is the best possible scenario for New Orleans if he fell to them at 21. So yeah, really looking forward to it. And yeah, I think there's a lot of exciting prospects for New Orleans to potentially draft. So that's all for me from this week. I think that there has been some movement here and there for the Pelicans. Like I said before, the DeJounte Murray trade, that's something that I think maybe could heat up in terms of conversations. And also the Darius Garland thing, keep an eye on that. So a lot to look forward to. The draft's going to be super exciting. And I do think that 21 is going to be a solid pick for the Pelicans. I think that there is still a bunch of talent for the Pelicans to pick from. So yeah, looking forward to it. As always, please subscribe to my Twitter, or follow me on Twitter at Wyatt Wilbert, and the show at Ethos Pelicans. And as always, this is the Sports Ethos presentation, and I look forward to seeing you guys next week to discuss more things that are all things Pelicans. Have a good one.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, Our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.